Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Yep. They're a good jumping point. But also, we've some of us have trailed off on all kinds of different things.
So we could definitely have some bunny rabbit trail there, but
we'll see where it goes. It's been really fun to have these conversations, that's for sure.
I bet, as you do them, just all the different ones. If you have 100 women, you have 100 different thoughts and ideas and personalities.
And just different experiences, with different things like purity culture. I've already met so many of us that have not actually been affected by it. And I'm like, how did you get through? How did you make it out alive? Just that was probably one of the bigger ones that I've noticed so far. I'm like, what? Where were you? And how did that happen? I don't understand.
But are they younger that they just didn't have it? They weren't old enough yet?
Well, so some of them, one earlier was saying she didn't really grow up in the church. So that kind of makes sense. She came to Christ later in life. So I was like, oh, okay, well, got it. that makes sense. But then there's been some others that did grow up in the church and they're in their 30s to 40s and it just didn't touch them in the same way. And I'm all, again, where did you go to church?
I wonder if you did it, not that you would do research, but geographically.
Was
it geographically all of them are all over? So it just is, that's just the randomness of it. Or I wonder if they did that, of the ones that said that they didn't affect them, do they happen to be in a specific geographic location, area? So maybe it just wasn't as strong, maybe potentially geographically.
Yeah. Now I'm curious. I'm gonna write that down. Well, why am I writing it down?
I was recording it.
No, I'm going to do that later because I'm totally going to go back and look at where the ladies are at who have said so far that no, it didn't really affect them.
Now, it might not be where they grew up, where they are now, but it might be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they said it didn't, just be so where did you grow up? What part of the country did you grow up in? Just because that would be interesting to see, if they were, if it was more heavily in certain areas than other areas.
I agree. And now I'm wondering too, you're giving me ideas. Now I'm wondering too, if it was specific denominations.
Oh, true. Yeah. You can even break it down even more.
Because I grew up in the evangelical free denomination, and so I'm like, that kind of makes sense. I'm gonna totally do it by denomination too and see if that plays a role.
Or because you're only into the 30s, you're not so deep you're into 80s, they could go back and do follow-up questions to say, hey,
that's true.
Where did you grow up and what was your denomination that you grew up in? So
heck, okay. Yeah. I'm going to add that into.
Or add it into the questionnaire.
Add it into the next batch of women because I only have 45 responses so far. So I haven't. Yeah. I only have 45 responses so far. That's still half, or almost half, but I can always go back and ask those ladies. Okay. Anyway,
I know. Side. See, we already started there, buddy.
Side trail. But it brings up a good point though, denominationally, geographically, what was happening in those areas and why was it prevalent in certain ones and not in others? Okay. Now my research brain is coming in. I'm going to have to control that for a minute. Okay. Anyway,
when you're done all this, that's your next topic.
That'll be for the book.
Yes.
Be like, let's break this down further.
Yep.
Because I mean, it's brought up some great conversation though, as the purity culture question has brought up a lot of good conversation as far as why a lot of us feel like we're still single. And we kind of can point it back to those different things within purity culture that, you know, we're so hard pressed and we're like, I guess they're still ingrained, so we're like, so we're still battling that, those concepts, even though they're not like necessarily the best. But anyway, that's a soapbox that I don't need to get on right now.
That's a whole book in itself.
Yeah, that is a whole book in and of itself. So do you want to kind of expand on that? Because I'm curious what you mean by faith values.
And, what was the question again? I did kind of review them, but I don't remember that question. What was that one?
Sorry, what is your biggest struggle with dating currently?
So I think when it goes to, well, I mean, I guess I need to preface, I am in a relationship. So I would say just like before this one, I think when you're just looking at with dating within the, if you want to say, and I said, like, I've talked to people about it, like Christian, mostly for using apps. And I think that's where I was going with faith values, is that Christian is such a wide term. And so a lot of people identify themselves as Christian. But when you start getting to know them, then, and maybe like, I don't know if it's just judging, but like, then you really see like they're identifying as a Christian, but yet they don't believe in the principles of what a Christian is.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like they have not, I'm a Christian, but really they have not accepted Christ as their savior. So how are you a Christian? So I think it's such a wide term. So when dating, when you're on the apps, like so many people do Christian, but you have to do like so much homework and question asking to really see what their faith values are and how it really like then, you know, maybe the pot is 100 people, but when you get down to it, it's literally down to 2. Like you've, you know, 98% of them, you know, you've realized they're not, or people feel that they are. But I guess in my definition, or what I am, my moral or where I am faith wise, it doesn't line up. So that would be my biggest. Or they might have accepted Christ, and I'm not saying like that they didn't, but their life currently is not reflecting of that.
Mm.
So I think that in the dating, and for me, I just think that faith wise is like, it's, I don't know, it's almost like Christianity is so ambiguous term. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, I think when I first started, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, all these guys are Christian. Oh, this is so exciting. Like you think, and then you like realize as I was in it for quite a while, like, no, like I don't even look at that because that you just can't use that as a determining factor anymore.
Mm-hmm.
To weed out or to whatever. It's just not there.
Yeah, which is sad. It's so frustrating. I've experienced that way too much also in being like, okay, you have to ask these questions to figure out where they are actually at spiritually, you know, and then that becomes its own thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like, thought just went bloop. like, I guess basing it you can't assume that just because somebody says that is that that's what they're really following, what they believe. And it brings in a whole nother level of frustration in the current dating culture. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes. Oh, it is. And I think I've heard that from different people too. Like it is when you want someone that's, you know, active and involved in, you know, a church community, that's growing in their spiritual walk. I mean, I'm not saying they're out there. I know that. But just when you put it into the dating, it's like just another thing that you have to pull through, you know, where you ask like, oh, like you say you're Christian, but like, why aren't you going to church? Why are you not involved? Why are you, you know, what's that? And then it's, you know, I feel like too, because if I'm professing to be a Christian as well, like I don't want to become across as judging, mm-hmm. you know, so it's how do you have those conversations with some love, but also like, yeah, I don't think that we're eye to eye on this and it's just not going to work out. Like we just have two different things. So
mm-hmm.
that's where I would say is the biggest, one of the bigger things that I have seen that's been probably the most frustrating that you have to like weed through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously that should be the biggest one.
Oh, I know.
That should be the biggest issue. But that kind of brings up a thought too. Like, how do you feel with like in the current culture of dating? And I guess maybe not how do you feel, but or what do you think about how our preferences have become like too much of a crutch? I guess that's how I kind of want to word it.
Or yeah, like, I actually like kind of did a dating class, I guess, last fall, whatever. And that really challenged me because I was very much like my preference. I was hardcore on them. Like there was just no wiggle room about certain things. And I think that was part of, well, obviously of learning, but I think God had to work with me on it. And I think I put that on some of my things is not really, I think what he pressed upon me is not to put him in a box. And that's what I've been like challenging people of. And it's like, I guess in this one, they talked about more like your values versus your preferences. But I think it's looking at more who they are as a person. And I mean, obviously there's things that you might not want, but, or you really can't, maybe because of past hurts, experiences, you know, like those would be more your non-negotiables for that. And I respect that most if you have like trauma in your life or something like that. But I literally, like, I think came when I started like this year, kind of just getting back into the dating. I learned that about the Christian, but I also was just like, you know, I think it was my approach was just, let's just get to know them and have conversations with them. And maybe it will be like a new experience that I, you know, even if it's a date, it's a new experience. And not be so big on preferences. Like, this is like, they have to be, I think one of your questions is like height. Like I did a guy who was shorter than I was, first time ever. You know what I mean? But then, he was a great guy because he planned dates. Like he was spectacular at planning dates.
Yeah.
Like I just maybe gave an idea and then he just took with it. And that's, I'm like, oh yeah, let's just go to the movies. And then I go for the date, like, okay, we're going to go here and we're going to try this restaurant. And then we're going to go to the movies and then we're going to come here or we're going to go get coffee. We're going to walk around, do movies. Then we're going to try this cool restaurant. Perfect. I don't even have to think about it. I just gave an idea of what to do. Like, and, but then when it came down for him, like faith wise, we were not, you know, the same. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, I think, when you do it, because the guy that I'm currently dating now, if you would have asked me my preferences like a year ago, I would say a year ago, I would not even given him the time of day. Like I wouldn't have. And when I think you can look back to some of those things, like, I mean, then I think I'd be missing out on some great opportunities. So I think in your questions, I think sometimes we put preferences so hard and there's such a wall or hard line that we're not willing to cross that I think that you lose out on one, even if it's just befriending, but experiences and maybe getting to know someone that just is out of that. And that can challenge you. And, you know, some preferences are things that maybe that person is willing to change if it's like a habit or something and they're willing to stop. And if they know that that's like, for me, there's one thing and I communicated how much I did not like it. You know what I mean? But him taking the steps, like he is taking steps to try to do that, knowing my feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of always say, like, don't put God in a box, because I think if we do that, then I think, I don't know, we just limit like who God could be in our life or who could be best, you know what I mean? Kind of match for us or potentially miss that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how many times I've literally used the phrase with the last 30 interviews, don't put God in a box. So when I read that, I was like, yes.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. I do. And I think that was like the biggest thing that I learned, like, was like, just don't, and just go with it. And just, you know, if there was just something that was interesting, like you're just getting to know someone else. Like, I've learned, I'm just doing it because I learned I was so rigid. And then now I feel like I wasn't say loosey goosey, but I really loosened up a lot more in the dating, you know, aspect. But I mean, like some people just, you know, I've heard some like, well, I'm not, you know, maybe not dating someone within their own church or within their own culture or within their own, like whatever it could be. And I just say, well, why not? Just try it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, because you never know.
Yeah, you just don't know. The emphasis word, you just never know. The phrase, you never know. You just never know.
Well, exactly. And like, I like to think of it as I don't know who I'm going to need in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, like who I quote need or want now may not be who I need in the future. And so, you know, it's like it's trying to find the big things that are like, okay, these are truly the things I'm not going to negotiate on. Right. But then those other things, okay, that's fine. Like, it's not that big of a deal. You know, cause nobody's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's going to check every single box. And, you know, being willing to allow God to show me personally who I need and who he wants for me, instead of me holding on to this preconceived idea of like, this is my perfect person. And yeah, cause that's gotten me so far.
Well, and that's what I like. I say that. I say that for myself. Like, okay, well, you know, I'm 40 or 30 or 39, you know, 40. I'm like, well, what I've been doing has not worked out. So let's try some different tactics and some different ways of like approaching it. And I think if you, you know, like if you open that door some, and again, you know, I think I've just learned like a date is just getting to know someone. And then, you know, is it enough information? You know, or is it enough? And I have like another friend that does like a 3-date rule, you know, like she will go on 3 dates to determine, you know, because a first date could be horrible, but that could be nerves and other stuff. So give the chances. And then after 3 dates, you can decide, well, you want to continue or not continue.
Yeah, so. I agreed. And I think like this thought kind of came into my mind earlier and now it's coming back. So I'm going to say it. With getting to know people without the pressure and, you know, it like, oh, it has to move somewhere or whatever. We don't know if that other person that we're going on a date with might be for somebody that we know also. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because they're not for us doesn't mean that we can't start setting up friends.
No. And that's what like I sit there and I think about when it's like these people, like if it's not, I'm like, who do I know that could go? And I think that's like, I don't know, switching me, I'm gonna do a bunny trail. But like, that's why like I've heard from guys why they don't date girls in the church, because mm-hmm. they feel like they date one girl, it breaks up. And then I think women or girls talk about it like, oh my goodness, he broke up with me. So it kind of loses their mm-hmm. chances per se with other women. And I remember I was hearing this, it was probably a year and a half ago, I think I was like hearing it. And I was like, ladies, like, and I never experienced that. I never experienced like that kind of, I won't say drama, but that kind of stuff within a church, like dating mm-hmm. and people like women. And I said, but isn't that the challenge? I said, just because they weren't for you, how do you know that they aren't for someone else within that group? And you could have just deterred from that happening or make the guys not want to, you mm-hmm. know? So I think that's too, as you date them, and it's always like, if it doesn't, like, it's not for you, but doesn't mean, yeah, you're right. It could be someone else, or who else do I know? Or who can I, you know, they might be well suited for someone else. Like,
I feel like we need to go back to the days of matchmaking, like, you know, just getting to know people without the pressure, you know, and let things kind of develop and then see where they go, instead of it being like, oh, I'm going to go on this date and we're going to be married by next week.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know? I think that's such a big, that's like, I don't know. I think that's, if you want to talk like, I don't know, necessarily purity culture, but like church culture, I think that is such, that's what it is. And I literally just, someone posted something about it. Oh, a friend did. And so she like put on there, you know, and it's not, marriage isn't elevating you within the church or within Christ. It's, you know, we're all like the same. It's not like you're above everyone else. And I think that's where the church is missing out, like on singles, is, you know, like, you know, we can be a part and have roles or have leadership roles or do things within the church. We don't have to be married to have, you know what I mean, to be able to do that. So I think that's, you know, I think that's a big thing, that shift that needs to change within the whole context of church.
Amen. I wholeheartedly agree. I'm over here like, why does it have to be this like level system? You know, like, oh, you're not married, like you don't know, or oh, you're not a mom, or you're not a dad, like you can't, you know this stuff or whatever. And I'm all, okay, sure. Or, you know, you can't serve in this position because you're not a mom or you're not a dad. Like, anyway, those are things that I've heard. And I'm just like, okay. That just takes out the fact that God has gifted these individuals with specific spiritual gifts. And who are you to tell them that they can't serve in that area because they don't meet these other criteria? Like, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, at that point, those other people are stopping what God is trying to do. You know, who knows why this single person has a desire to work in a certain ministry? Like, you have no idea. You have no idea what God's trying to do within that person's life and within the person's people's lives that they're going to be serving with or mm-hmm. over. You know what I mean? You have no idea. And that's coming back to putting God in a box.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. And oy, yeah, I could soapbox for that about that one for a hot minute. I feel like the church is just really, for lack of a better word, failing in that way. Not just with singles in like leadership positions, but putting marriage on this pedestal and, you know, or putting even being parents on a pedestal, like if we want to go that route.
Yeah. And I think, I think in general, I just think the church is feeling in a way singles in general and what their role is within the church. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say maybe younger singles. I think I've seen some more on ones that may be married and now they're widowed. And so they're on the technically singled or whatever, mm-hmm. But they're on the other spectrum. They might be in those kind of positions. But I think when it comes to younger, I think as a whole, I do think there's a little bit of some movement, but it's not like it's as a whole. I think it's very still back in the 1950s or 60s or, you know, that mind shift has not occurred yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think there is some church that are trying to do that, but I think collectively it is not.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, which is frustrating because, again, it's like, what are you possibly stopping mm-hmm. by your preconceived notions of what of the way it should be? I guess is how I should phrase that. Not what should be, but how it should be.
Should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what are your expectations as far as a man leading in relationship?
OK, so, yeah, I think I still like the of them leading. Like, I still like the. Well, I would say the manners, like the opening the door, like the chivalrous things. I still, I think I like those. And I think that makes me as a woman feel cherished by doing those and kind of like protective. You know, even if it's like walking on the street, you're on the inner side. You know what I mean? You're not on the outer side, opening mm-hmm. the doors. Yes. Like, again, go back to the church, but back to those old, like kind of things. I think that makes in that role, I think, me as a woman feel cared for, protective, and cherished. And leading, I think that God, and I think God has placed it for them to be in that relationship to kind of be the spiritual house, you know, leading maybe in prayer or like having, you know, let's do a Bible study. Where are we going? Like in a relationship. But I'm not saying that that has to be 100% all the time, because I think there's moments going to be in that relationship where the woman's going to be stronger than the guy. And I think it's going to be that equal balance. And I think I learned that from a long time ago from a couple friend. And they're like, hey, when I'm really struggling, then my wife is a little bit stronger in that aspect. If it's like prayer, if I'm struggling, like just really being a prayer warrior, when she is, then I am more. So I think it becomes more of a team type aspect. But I still think that they're to lead of like the family or in the relationship of more like pointing to Christ. Now, I love to joke to say like, this is the only line quote that I ever know from a movie, my big fat Greek grandmother, they might be the head of the, you know, the house, but the woman's the neck and we can turn it whatever way we want to. But like someone said, actually, I just was on a mission trip. And so we were joking about it because we were in Greece for the mission trip. Nice. And so we were talking about, because the movie was just going to be, the third one was coming out. And they're like, yeah, but don't you know, you can see like, you know, the head needs the neck and the neck needs the head. You know what I mean? Like we both need each other. It's not independent functions of it. Because I think I was saying that line. Like in jokes. So I think that is where I think as far as leading in that relationship is kind of maybe taking a little bit more of that role, but it doesn't mean that they have to be in that role all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks for explaining. Oh, yeah. I love that movie. That is one of my favorite lines to quote.
Yeah, I quote it a lot.
It's such a good movie. I haven't seen the third one yet, but I'm excited.
Yeah, me neither. But
yeah, and I agree. I think that is something that current culture and even past culture hasn't like grasped that we all do need to work together, and not just like in a couple relationship, like as the body and in the whole, you know. And we tend to not have community, or, you know, feel like we can just do things on our own. And it's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to work. You know, so yeah, I agree. I think it becomes a partnership, and, you know, not, there's going to be different struggles that we each face personally that, you know, we're going to need the other person for support. Okay, so let's talk about the first date question, because I feel like this is a cultural thing where guys assume we want the big fancy first date or big fancy dates all the time. And maybe that's just a rom-com thing.
I don't know.
Because I'm like, I'm not that difficult to please. So I don't know. I don't, if you want to just kind of share your opinion on like the first
date. Yeah, I think first date needs to be just relaxed. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be anything grand. And I think that is where we're going to talk about, like, you know, church culture. I think that's Hollywood culture putting in that it has to be this big, like you just said, like this big thing and like over the top. And, you know, and I think it's something, to me, a first date is kind of, I think it's good where it's something interactive, but or an active, but it doesn't mean like strenuous. I mean, so, you know, I think someone suggests, like, you know, it might just be like going on a walk and then grabbing a coffee and you're walking and talking with coffee, you know, like very low cost, but impact, you know. Or it's, hey, let's go get ice cream and play mini golf or something. So then you're kind of having fun. It breaks the ice. You can have conversation as you're doing something. Or, you know, maybe if there's like a little local festival, like, hey, let's go to this chocolate festival and like walk around and try different chocolates. You know, if they, hopefully they like chocolate. But, you know, I think it's just something like, it doesn't have to be so intensive. And I'm probably not, and I know like some say like it should be like time-wise, it should be shorter. I have been on some really long first dates, like hours of them. So I'm not the greatest one to come to say like time frame. But then I was on one and it was literally like an hour and a half. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, and I was like, only an hour and a half? Because I just have not had that experience. But then I thought, no, like that's a good time frame. Like that's what it's supposed to be. Like it's not supposed to be these whole day things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or turn into it or whatever. But I think that is, and I don't know. And I think a lot of it probably is females maybe vocalizing that. And I think maybe, and it might be one or two, and that's what, who the voices that the guys are seeing. So I think they have to like, feel like they have to do all of that. And you're right. Like it's, I don't really think, and most women were hard to please. I think it's just something that you might've put a little thought into it and you have a plan and that's it. Like if you had a plan, like you're saying, hey, meet me here, we're going to do this and this, that honestly, if you just said that, that's like big wins. And I think in a female's one, doesn't then end up being no matter what it is. It's just that you made a plan and you told me what we were doing, like where I needed to meet you. Like that, I think, is the biggest. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be spectacular, guys. Just make the plan and say what it is.
Yep. Be like, hey, meet me here, or I'm coming to pick you up at this time. Be ready. You know what I mean?
Meet me here. Make sure you wear tennis shoes. That's it. Yes. Like, you know, or whatever it is. Like, so, like, you're kind of, you know, maybe dressed, but like, if it's because you're going to go for a walk or a hike, like, you don't want to come in high heels and totally ruin your plan. I think that is, honestly, if a guy just did that, you would win so many favors, stars in a lady's book, where I think if you can do it, and I think that's where, I think where women just want now, or at least for the guys, is they want that initiative, because that shows that you are being somewhat, not like serious, but like you're being thoughtful in this and you're, you know, you're taking the time to do that.
Amen. It really doesn't take that much. And I think that comes back to the pressure situation of like, okay, it has to be this way. It doesn't. Again, like for me, the simplest date would be, hey, meet me at Barnes and Noble at 10 a.m. We're going to get some coffee and buy a book and then we can hang out and talk about it or, you know, whatever. Like that would be so easy. Mm-hmm. Or coffee just in general. Take me to the beach. Take me hiking. Like I don't
care. Yeah, I mean, it could be like, hey, meet me here. We're going to like, and you have a shirt, you know, I'm going to do a little charcuterie board and we're going to watch the sunset.
Yeah.
You know, or something like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to go here. I'm going to have a little picnic and we're just going to watch it and just like, just let's get to know each other. I don't mean like, it doesn't have to be, you know, or, you know, hey, meet me in this grocery store parking lot. Here's $10. You know, I have $10. Go pick out your favorite snacks and then we're going to go do something. So it's kind of fun. And then you know, it's like a $20 date. Like it's not that expensive in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think those are just sometimes more the meaningful ones than, and now get me wrong, I know that there's women that want the big grand stuff, but I think majority are simple. And if you already, if they already know you a little bit, then they're, you know, like you love books. So that would be a great one to go there. Or I love coffee. So taking me to get coffee would be great, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Heck yeah. It takes asking the right questions to figure out what she likes and, you know, or even on the flip side, what he likes. You know, like if we are looking to do something cool as a date, you know, and then just come up with a plan, initiate said plan, say, give her in just enough details to figure out clothing. Cause yes, mm-hmm. I agree. That is very important. What am I supposed to wear? And then just follow through. Like that's the other part of it too, is following through. Yeah.
And I think I'd want it was like, hey, meet me at this restaurant, which actually I was late for the date before I felt real bad. Cause I just had stopped to go shopping real quick and I went longer than I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But that morning I was like, hey, what do you think about going to this place, going for a walk? And then there's a dessert place. We get dessert afterwards. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Like might not be, you know, like I've never done it before. I've been to there. Oh, these are new things. I didn't even know these things existed in this place, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it might not be like first thing that you might be like, oh, I wouldn't necessarily want to go on a hike. But you never know. Like it might be kind of a fun hike and you can laugh about it or, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to stop because I need to stop and take a breath because you're going a little too fast. You know, like, where's my bag to blow into?
I am not at your level, sir.
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, I had one friend, I have a guy friend, and he was like, yeah, I've always wanted just to put coordinates and then tell him just to meet me there at a time. I was like, you would do that. You would. And I said, it would be in the middle of nowhere is what you would pick. You know, like... you know, so that could be, I mean, if they're that adventurous, like I'm an adventurous person, I probably would be that one that would show up to that. Like, okay, here's the coordinates. Let's figure out if I can even figure out how to put these coordinates in my GPS to begin with. That's step number one. So let's hope if I show up at the right place.
Right. Not some other random backwoods area.
Some other random, like, I'm in the middle of the highway. Like, I'm not sure this is where you wanted to meet. You know? But I think I think I feel like guys need to not be so much pressure about it, you know, like just relax a little bit, you know. So and I think that's us as women to say that and to allow them to have that space to, you know, for it. So
yeah, it doesn't have to be a big huge thing. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't even always have to be fun. You know what I mean? It could just be like whatever.
I mean, it could be that and you grab a puzzle. Let's put a puzzle together. Let's play a game. You know what I mean? Like, let's play this card game. And, you know, so that you learn if your guys are competitive or not. I don't know. Like, you know, I think it is most. I mean, I do feel like for guys, you know, a lot of it comes to them financially and not all of them can, you know, financially do that. So what are some still things that you might have? And, you know, could you afford $10 to get both of you a coffee? You know what I mean? And that's not maybe an unrealistic thing, you know, so it's not like you're going out to dinner and you're, you know, and she orders like the filet mignon, which is the most expensive thing on the menu. And you're going, oh my goodness, like, I don't have the money for this, you know, or whatever, you know, it is, you know, mostly since, you know, a lot of times they are paying for the first date. So
mm-hmm.
if they're going out on a lot of first dates, I mean, yeah, I can see how it can get expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like this idea just came to my My mind too. And I don't know how every woman would feel about this, but like for me, if you tell me, hey, bring your favorite snack to this location, like I have no problem bringing a snack and some drinks and like meeting you at a park, you know what I mean? Or whatever, because then that's still not necessarily something financial on his side of things. Like we're providing our own stuff and we're meeting wherever and we're going to still hang out and get to know each other. Like, cool.
I mean, but even it could be like, even in that, like, you know, meet me here. And then they, even if you brought a bottle of water, I mean, that's like a dollar. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, again, it doesn't have to be, yes. And if you do it, I just don't think it has to be an expensive one. Cause I do know, as women, guys are, you know, financially, you know, that's, they might not be in a position to have to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you need to have the freedom not to have to spend a lot, mostly if it's the first date and it doesn't go. Well, at least you're like, hey, that only cost me $10, you know, like,
yeah.
That wasn't so too much.
Yeah. It's not like you're flying across the country. And I mean, that's a whole other thing if you bring in long distance.
That is true. I mean, I've done long distance, but not to like the flying long distance. I've done like driving, which that's challenging of itself. So that is tough. But yeah. That I have not experienced having to fly. I don't. Yeah, that can get real pricey as well.
Yep.
But again, I tell people don't put God in a box. So if it's meant to be, things will happen and transpire. It might be a day that you need to book airfare and Southwest like now is having their 50% off sale.
I'm like, where am I going and when am I going?
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think like too, in that aspect, like with long distance and trying to meet each other or whatever, like that can be a little bit more of a discussion on like how things are going to be separated. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to like splitting the cost of airfare. You know what I'm saying? Like if he's coming to see me, then I'd be like, okay, you know, like, can we talk about this? Cause I don't want you to have to shell out a ton of money if this doesn't work. You know what I mean? Not that I'm trying to set it up.
Yeah.
For that,
or it's like they do the airfare and if it doesn't work, like, but you've paid for the hotel or you've helped provide a place for them to stay. You know what I mean? That's like not doing it. Mostly if it's the first meeting, you know, kind of splitting that cost. And then if it really sparks, flies, and it goes, then it's have that conversation how it's going to, you know, go moving forward. Like, you know, are we going to each, you know, every other month fly to go see each other? You know what I mean? So what does that look like? Can we, you know, is that, are you financially able to do that? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. I know a couple who did every 6 weeks. The other one was flying the other direction, you know. Yeah. And I was just like, y'all are young. How are you affording this? Is what I want to know. But now they've been married for almost 3 years and they have a baby on the way. And I'm just like, well, see, they can do it. It could work.
Yeah, I think you just have to have that. You know what I mean? You just have to be upfront. Like I've known people and they're like, oh, yeah, I flew and I went to visit this person and I did this person, you know. And I thought about it, too, like if I was long distance, like more mine. And I said I'm like that payer. So I would feel bad. Like I would want to pay for like the hotel or the Airbnb or like I would want to help in doing that. But I guess it's a conversation because I've had some guys. So why do you feel like you need to pay for that? I was like, because you're putting in that money. And they're like, but did we ask you that we needed you to? That we needed help. I was like, oh, okay. Well, wouldn't be trying to be insulting. I just feel like I need to help out. Like that's how I would see it. So I did get challenged about my thinking on paying for that. So
yeah,
I don't know. Again, that would be a conversation if that situation was to present itself.
Yes.
Thankfully, I've been able to drive. Not that that's not can be tough on gas and tolls and other stuff, but it's been manageable.
I feel like this should be said too. So with the whole not putting God in the box situation, I feel like a lot of us sometimes will not be open to the long distance situation because, oh, I can't do it financially. Or, oh, you know, they're a single parent and they can't move, but can I move? You know, like we start to put too much emphasis on some of those intangible things and tangible things. And it's just like, why? Like if it's supposed to be for a reason, why are we putting those parameters on it? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think it goes too, because honestly, I find it interesting. I don't know. I think when you're going on that one, like I'm going to go to the children aspect of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And the ones I have seen so many. I mean, yes, I'm being 40 and I don't have, and I expect at my age, if I'm dating someone, whatever, that they're going to have a child. Like, I just, that's just natural. That's how that's going to be. But I have met so many guys that are like younger than I am. And I have been on like little dates with them. And they're like, nope, I'm done having children. I had mine. I'm done. No more. And I'm like, you are 37 years old. Like, you done? Like, I don't understand. Or, you know, I've like, well, I don't want to be a grandpa at whatever field. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that. I'm like, I'm done. And I'm, and I mean, and good, like maybe medically they are done. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I think again, you waste so much. There's so many women that are like, oh, so for me, I've been like, okay. And you've been very, you know, if they say it, then I feel like you, I'm taking you at your word and I still want to have a child, you know, or have a child. So I'm not going to even pursue that because you're so hardcore on that. You know, and I also know like women, you know, biologically we get, you know, there's a point that you can't. So I understand that part, but it's just like, I'm like, wow, people are real definitive. And then when they give their their rationale as to why, it just does not make sense to me. I'm like, that's the reason why. Like, okay. All right. Well, let's hope that if you meet someone that they physically don't, you're not going to have a surprise baby, because then God's going to be like, I told you. Like, yep. So I don't know. I think that's a whole nother ball game that I have seen in mine. And that's, I think, because of my age. And then the guys, when I've dated, I've like, that's a question I have to ask. So I understand you have a kid. Do you want any more? Are you open to have any more, you know? And I'm at 50-50, I think, I guess, at it, maybe a little bit more that say, no, I'm done. You know, mm-hmm. So, and I'm like, man, you're really like cutting a lot of women off.
Uh-huh. And like, so I'm going to be 34 in a couple months, and I'm getting that too with guys that are, you know, because my dating range is basically like 27-ish on up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so I'm like, what? Like, how do you not want kids? Either they don't want kids, period, or they don't want any more kids. And I have no problem dating single dads. Like, that's cool. Whatever. I don't mind being a bonus mom. But I want my own child. If the Lord allows.
And
I'm, you know?
Like, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's fine. Like, if you want it, but like, then, but you can't say in the same breath, why can I not find someone? You know? And I'm like, well, you just totally cut off, you know, a hunk of people, because maybe, and that's, I think, goes back to our first question about preferences. Mm. You know, like, I think that's is, and I'm not saying some people really do not want to have children. I have friends that are, you know, they're a little bit mid 40s and they're like, I never want to have kids. And I respect that. You don't have kids, you don't have kids. Like, I'm not, I think that's fine if you don't want to, or you don't, you know. So I'm like, I just have no desire to birth a child, or I never have wanted that desire. Okay, that's great. You know what I mean? And obviously you find people either they already, and they're okay with them already having kids. They just didn't want any of their own. But I just find that there's a lot when you hear it, and it's just like, wow, you really cut off a lot of people, because there's still a lot of women that want to have kids, or they discount, at least because I'm on the older end. Oh, because you're this age, I'm just going to discount you because you're at that age to have a kid. And I'm like, do you not already think how we feel? I mean, they've changed it, but it used to be like, if you were above 35 and you had a kid, you were literally called a geriatric patient, like, you know, pregnancy. Now they have advanced maternal age is what they call it. They changed it. But I'm like, we already get it. Like, we already get that for the geriatrics of, you know, of OB land. So yeah. And I mean, I have a guy friend, and he's older, but like, he goes younger. And I think once family, I'm like, why are you discounting the upper 30s? You know what I mean? There's some great women there that have their life together and want kids. Like, just because they're a little bit older does not mean, you know, like, don't discount them. Like, don't be so young. You know, you're older and you want to date 10 years younger because they're going to be more likely for you to have a family. Like, there's older women that can have family too.
Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, that brings in the fact that you're not guaranteed a kid either. Like,
correct.
You know,
they could be, yeah, you could be 20 something and have, you know what I mean? Like, fertility is a real thing, you know, issues. So, yes, you never know. Like,
yeah,
you are not, that's a fair point. You are not guaranteed.
You're not guaranteed children, no matter how old you are. And, you know, and again, are we putting God in a box with the age? You know, like, there are more and more women having children that are older, like in their 40s. Somebody had a baby in their 50s. I don't remember who, but somebody was 50 and having a baby. And I'm like, holy moly. Mm-hmm. You know, but it happens. And so it's like, why are we limiting people on our preconceived ideas of fertility? Because again, like, there could be fertility on the guy side. It might not be our side.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no blame there. It's just, that's how genetics are. That's how things work out. And
I think it's that shift too, because women are more in the workforce. So they're wanting to kind of do that before they do family, you know, where it wasn't, you know, obviously not getting married when you're 18, you know, very young and doing that part. So I think there's that change. Mm. So I think you have to realize that change for women in the workforce of wanting to do that before they have families, and they are having them later. I mean, I'm in the medical community and they still need to take out these taglines of advanced, you know, maternal age, like, or whatever, like, stop putting that on my chart. Like, that's very, I'm going to say, like, discriminatory because of my age. Like, yes, you know, did I not want to be married, have family when I was younger? Absolutely. But that's not what God had for me. So stop putting that on there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it is. I think it's putting on there. And obviously, like I said, some people are, you know, they are done. They're done. Like, I'm not, and I'm not discrediting them for having to do that. But, you know, I always challenge people when they say that. I'm like, so, like, are you that, is that more your preference, or is there just like a medical reason why, or something else that's, mm-hmm. you know, is there more to it than, you know, necessary? And I know that some women just don't want to have kids. I mean, I know that, and guys just don't want to have kids, and that's great. Like, that's fine. I'm not, you know, more power to them, but mm-hmm. I know some that are, they say it and I'm like, but do you really believe that? You know, are you really? Uh-huh. Just checking, you know, I'm going to quiz you on that topic. So.
All right. So I feel like we should touch on this. The whole, let's say a guy's having a rough day conversation or topic, and what that looks like, because I feel like guys need to hear this more that we actually want to know.
Yeah, I think that it is. I think when you're having one, I think it goes back to, I think it's ingrained society that I think, in my opinion, as a female, mm-hmm. That men are not to be vulnerable in their emotions or to show their emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a woman, we want to see that side of them. I think because that's, we're emotional beings. And so when they can be and communicate that, then that's, it helps further our connection with them. Mm-hmm. And to say how they're feeling, even if it might be, again, it's back, you know, honest communication, it might not be something that we necessarily want to hear. Mm. But, you know, if you're having a bad day, I want you to tell me about it. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you about my bad day and I want you to listen and to connect about it. So if you're having it and how you're feeling, and I think it's the word feeling. It's that word that's like, oh, I got to share my feelings. You know, like, mm-hmm. I just, you know, I think it's of just saying, I really had a bad day because of this. This person said this and it bothered me. And it made me, you know, it made me feel whatever. And I learned from someone, you know, like, but, you know, guys like to say like, hey, when you did this, it made me feel great. Like, you know, and that's like golden to guys. I think it's still the reverse for women too. When you can talk about your feelings, it helps us be able to connect to, at least I'm speaking for myself, connect more emotionally mm-hmm. with one another. Mm-hmm. Then I think you can also see more about them, especially like in the dating relationship, how they handle stressors and what their limits are for certain mm-hmm. things. And so maybe they really do have a high threshold for stress, but this particular thing is very sensitive to them. So that's maybe where their breaking point is, or where their frustration is going to break. And so then you know that about them. So if it's in a situation and it's getting to that point, then you maybe know how to like intervene or react or be prepared for maybe, you know, not having a great day. Or mm-hmm. you know, having that at of that point. But I think it, you know, it's also for, you know, for us as women to, you know, that in a relationship that we need to be able to feel safe enough to be able to express our feelings as well. So I think maybe that is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like creating that safe space relationship or that space for within that relationship that those feelings can be shared without judgment and honesty.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be really big. I don't know. I think I'm big on feelings. So, I mean, and I do like, I mean, it's just, you know, like, and not the person, you know, that I'm dating. Like, we've had kind of a challenging week. And so it's like last week it was more affecting him. And so how are you feeling about it? What is about this dysfunction is making you feel, you know what I mean? And doing it, we're actually today, this morning, it's where it affected me and I was feeling it. You know what I mean? So we didn't, you know, we had a moment and I could say, you know, like last week that was, it's hitting me now. And this is how I'm feeling about it. You know, I'm trying to be, you know, I want to be supportive, but I also need you to feel where my feelings are on the situation. And I think that allowed a little bit more safe space for them to open up. He's like a little bit more of what the situation and feelings are. So you don't have to be. I mean, it is okay for men to cry and to show emotion. There's nothing like, I don't know. For me, it's a lot more romantic, I guess. if you cry or you show emotions, like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be these strong beings all the time. Let's do the shores first. Jesus wept. Right. Jesus showed emotions.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? To show that side. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to share your feelings. Mm-hmm. So do it more of. Guys, as a female, give you permission. You know, open yourselves up into that way, or challenge yourselves to, you know, open up more in that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of emotional maturity when you can do that.
Agreed. Very much so. I'm the type of person that's like, tell me all the things. I want to know all the things. I want, you know, how else am I supposed to connect with you if I don't know this stuff, you know? Yeah, obviously there's still a timeline there. Like, you don't have to unload everything on me right away, but
like, oh no. Yeah. I mean, I'm more of like, you're in it. You know, I think it's, even if it's like little pieces, I mean, that was my experience with this one. It was a little bit of information was shared to me over some time. So it was not all hitting me once, where I think I would have probably shut down and like, you know, but you know, I think if you're in a serious relationship, you're getting to know, I think it, you need to have that still with safeguards, because you're not married, to have that type of intimacy. But I think there still can be feeling questions to ask, and I think feelings are, you know, I think they have all those different like check-in questions to ask, you know, what was great about your day, you know, or this past week, what was not, what could I've done to support you better, what could I've done this part. And I think that helps in getting to their feelings.
That's a good point. Yeah,
you know, or to say like, actually I was just like talking to my sister about it today, and it was like, you know, even if it's not feelings, it's, or may saying like, look, I'm only being able to operate at 20% today. Like, that's where I am in my feelings and what I emotionally can give at this moment. And you communicating that, and then to him to say, okay, well, I got your 80, you know, or it's like, hey, like, I'm just really struggling. I'm at 5. And he could be like, yeah, me too. And I'm at 10. All right. So we're going to collectively take our 15% and we're going to try to support each other with the collective 15% that we can do. You know what I mean? So I think it's being in touch with those where you are, you know, emotionally, I think it can really bring the relationship a lot closer and more connection with that.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think more couples and even friends need to do that.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I think this can definitely not just like a romantic. It can be friends. I mean, you might be your friend. Like, look, I'm only at this. So, you know, I can't operate at this 100% that you might need me at this moment. You know, oh yeah, I think in any relationship, I think that's key.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.